Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom. Nun bet amud bet, three lines from the bottom. Tanu rabbanan, haroya ketem. If a person has a sighting of a ketem, a stain on their baguette, im yesh bo kedei lechalek gimel grisim shein kegris ve'od. If you could divide up that stain, the size of the stain is sufficiently big enough that you could break it up into three units of gimel grisim. Gris is a legume. So if it is the size of a gris, ve'od, and a little more, if you can break it up into three units that have a gris and od, now that shiur, which is a given in the Gemara now, the Gemara will discuss later and explain to us why that is a significant shiur with regards to tamim, but we're going to take it for granted now that that is a unit that means that there was a sighting sufficiently large enough that we consider to be a ri'ah or it have implications. So if she has now a stain on her beged, that's the size that you could subdivide it into three units of kegris va'od, kegris va'od, chosheshet. Then she has to worry about the fact that she is possibly a zava gedola here. In this instance, let's assume she's in her 11 days of Yemei Ziva. She sees a stain the size that could be three separate sightings. And if you had three sightings during Yemei Ziva over 3 days, then she'd be a zava gedola. She needs shiva nikim. So here she has a stain that's sufficiently big enough for us to be chosheish that that happened. Vim lav, if there isn't that size, I mean it's below that threshold size, eno chosheshet. You don't have to worry about it because there's no possibility that she could have seen over 3 days a sufficient size each of the day that we classify that as a re'iyah each of those days. Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra omer, mishum Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra says the name Rabbi Yossi, achadzo, vachadzo chosheshet. Doesn't matter, you still are chosheish. Now, Rabbi Yossi doesn't give you any size, but it seems from what we'll see in his opinion, that it is clear that he needs you to have at least two gris va'od. He disagrees when you have a stain that's sufficiently big enough to have kegris va'od, but kegris va'od. Two grisim va'odin, as they call it. So then there's a possibility here that you still saw it over 3 days. And that is because there is this chashash that you saw it ben ashmashot. You saw it right over the threshold of ben ashmashot. And when you see it over the threshold of ben ashmashot, that re'iyah can count towards 2 days. It can count towards the day before and the day afterwards. And in that way, you can get 3 days, even though you only had two sightings. Now, you have to have a minimum of two sightings, because the only way to get over 3 days is to have a minimum of two sightings. One sighting could be ben ashmashot. The other one could be on the third day. Or it could be both of them are ben ashmashot. But still, you have an overlapping day in the middle. Either way, you need a minimum of a gris va'od in order to reach that threshold. But his only point is that the Tanakama's view that you need three gris va'od for this to be a problem, he says you don't need that much. Two gris va'od would be sufficient in order to get to that position. Amar Rabbi, nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra bishalo badka. I think that Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra makes sense when she didn't do a bdika. V'divrei chachamim bishabadka. And I think the chachamim's position makes sense, mishabadka. I'm intentionally not translating the badka to explain what it means, because that's going to be the whole Gemara here, trying to explain what it means that she was bodek or not bodek over here. But first of all, the Gemara is going to take a step back and say, my badka, my lo badka. Here they're not really asking in terms of the conclusion of Rabbi, rather the core machloket between the Chachamim, Tanakama, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra. What is their machloket about? So Amar Rava, Ashkechintu the Rabbonon de Bei Rav. I found the Rabbonon in the Beit Midrash of Rav, the Yat Vivikamre. They were saying the following. Hocha b'mayaskinan. What is the scenario here? Higon shebadka atzma, velo badka chaluka. The case where she checked herself, but she did not check her beged. Ve'af atzma lo badka, ela ben ashmashot de Rav Yehuda. And she herself only checked during the ben ashmashot of Rav Yehuda. But during the ben ashmashot of Rabbi Yossi, she did not check. So now, just to give some background here, there is a multiple level machloket as to what is the duration of ben ashmashot, and actually when is ben ashmashot. The Gemara brings three views within the Tanaim. The easiest view is Rabbi Yossi's view. Rabbi Yossi's view is that ben ashmashot is keheref ayin. It's like the blink of an eye. A very short period of time between when it's Yom, when it's Laila. There is this little piece in between the two of them where we're uncertain as to what its status is, but it's extremely short. The other views are the views of Rabbi Nechemia. Rabbi Nechemia believes that the duration of ben ashmashot is a chatzimil. on basis of assuming that it takes a person 18 minutes to walk a meal, then the half a meal would be 9 minutes of duration for the Ben HaShemashot. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, believes that it is the period of time. He describes it based on the color of the sky, on the eastern sky. So the sun is setting on the western side, so there's more light on the horizon on the western side. He describes it based on the eastern horizon, when it's chichsif, the tafton v'lo elyon, the bottom part is darkened, but not the upper part. There's a machloket there between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef in the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, as to what that means. One says that it means that at sunset, the start is the start of the Ben HaShemashot. And then until you reach that threshold, it's classified as Ben HaShemashot. Whereas the other opinion is that the Ben HaShemashot only starts at that threshold and then continues further. The Gemara there says the difference between their opinions in Rabbi Yehuda is one of them believes that it is 3/4 of a meal, and one of them believes that it's 2/3 of a meal. So 2/3 of a meal would be 12 minutes, and the one who says 3/4 of a meal would be 13.5 minutes. That would be the duration of their Ben HaShemashot. And the question between the 12 and the 13.5 is when it starts. Does it start immediately at Shkia when the sun leaves the horizon? Or does it start a little bit after that? And what the Gemara describes, it's all of a minute and a half difference in the period of time between it starts. Rashi over here, interestingly enough, quotes that Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is that it's a chatzi meal. And the Rabbi Kiva Eger already is ma'areh here that that's not the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. That's the Shita of Rabbi Nechemya, not Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi's complaining too. Shito. The only problem is that Rashi in the Gemara in Brachot also quotes Rabbi Yehuda Shita as being chatzi meal. You can't just say it was a mistake or it was a taut sofer because it happens in multiple places. But you have to figure out why Rashi did that. Not the topic of our Gemara today, but just note that. You have these different opinions with regards to Ben HaShemashot. The Gemara here is focused on two of those opinions. That is of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda has a duration to his Ben HaShemashot. He said it's either 3/4 of a meal or 2/3 of a meal. And Rabbi Yossi, who has a Ben HaShemashot, that is Keheref Ayin. And what happened here, according to these Rabbanon of the Bei Rav, where Rav is conveying what they were saying, is that the woman Ben HaShemashot was checking herself, but not her beged. She never checked the beged itself to know whether there was or wasn't a stain on the beged, so we can't have any assumptions or we can't come to any conclusions with regards to the beged because we don't have any new information. But we do know is that she was checking herself so that she didn't have a sighting during Ben HaShemashot because she was checking herself during Ben HaShemashot. But she did not check herself through all of the Ben HaShemashot. She only checked herself through Ben HaShemashot to Rabbi Yehuda, not through Ben HaShemashot to Rabbi Yossi. And then that will obviously have a nafkamina because one of the parties that's arguing over here is Rabbi Yossi. And that's what the Gemara is about to explain. That the Rabbanan Sabre, the Rabbanan believe, but Ben HaShemashot to Rabbi Yossi, Leliyahu. By the time you reach the Ben HaShemashot of Rabbi Yossi, it's full nighttime. There's no longer a Safek. So their Safek of Ben HaShemashot is Rabbi Yehuda. Immediately after Rabbi Yehuda's Ben HaShemashot ends, that's when Rabbi Yossi's Ben HaShemashot begins. Chamim said, you're already too far, that's already nighttime. There's no safek anymore there. V'ha'abad kod b'Ben HaShemashot to Rabbi Yehuda. And she checked herself during the Ben HaShemashot to Rabbi Yehuda. That means it precludes the possibility that she had a sighting during Ben HaShemashot. She doesn't have a sighting during Ben HaShemashot. You've taken away the problem that Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra and the neighbor Rabbi Yossi raised, which is what happens if you saw Ben HaShemashot and it'll count towards 2 days. You don't have that anymore because you've taken away that possibility. V'Rabbi Yossi l'ta'ame, but Rabbi Yossi is l'shitato, damar Ben HaShemashot sfeik ha'avi, and that he thinks that Ben HaShemashot is a safek. And therefore, even though you checked during the Ben HaShemashot of Rabbi Yehuda, you still have the Ben HaShemashot of Rabbi Yossi, which is keheref ayin. And maybe she saw, after she finished checking, immediately after she sees it during the Ben HaShemashot of Rabbi Yossi. Therefore, you have a safek. V'amina lehu ana, Rava says, I said to the Rabbon of the Bei Rav, had it been that she had her hand in her eye, it's euphemistic, if she was checking down below the entirety of Ben HaShemashot, then it would make sense. Achshav, now, Shema im siluk yadeh ra'ata. Over here, maybe when she pulled away from checking, immediately afterwards she had the sighting, and that was still during Ben HaShemashot. Ve'amruli, and the Rabbanan de Bei Rav responded to me, Kika Amrinon, we said this, Kishanatna Yada Beinah called Ben HaShemashot. That's exactly what we said. That she was checking the entire Ben HaShemashot. So we'll turn out, according to the Rabbonon, the Bei Rav, that the machloket over here relates to this issue of ben hashmashot. That fundamentally, the chachamim agree that we do worry about sightings during ben hashmashot, but in this particular case, she eliminated that possibility. The machloket revolves around whether she did or didn't remove that possibility, because she checked the entire ben hashmashot of Rabbi Yehuda, so that, let's assume it begins at shkiah and continues for 3/4 of a meal for 13.5 minutes. For those 13.5 minutes, she checked herself. So we've taken away the possibility of her having a sighting over 2 days. And therefore now, if she doesn't have enough dam or stain on her beged, that we could now conclude that it came over 3 separate days, which means kegris ba'od for each day, 3 grisim bodim, then there's no reason to have a chashash that she's a zavah dola over here, because absent that, she didn't have a sighting over 3 days. That is the view of the Tana Kamo, and that's because she checked through the entire ben hashmashot, and everything is safe. That's because they believe that ben hashmashot is like Rabbi Yehuda, and she checked for that duration of 13.5 minutes. Then afterwards, when it hits Rabbi Yossi's ben hashmashot, they think it's nighttime already, and once it's nighttime, then whatever sighting she would have then would only count for 1 day, not for 2 days, and that's why there is no chashash of Zavah Gidola, unless she has a sighting that is as big as 3 grisin va'od. Rabbi Yossi, who Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra is quoting, holds his own ben hashmashot. Therefore, if you checked all the way through the ben hashmashot of Rabbi Yehuda, you still have the possibility that it happened during the ben hashmashot of Rabbi Yossi. And given that, there's still a safek that exists over here. Therefore, for Rabbi Yossi, who Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra is quoting over here, then even if you only had 2 grisim ba'od, you still have that possibility that she sighted it during ben hashmashot. And that sighting during ben hashmashot could have been 2 days. If that's the case, even with 2 grisim ba'od, it's enough that you could have a chashash that she saw 3 days in a row, and she could still be a zavah gdola. Now all of this, of course, is misafek. We don't know with certainty that this is the case, but is there even a possibility that she should worry about being a zavah gdola? According to the Chachamim, there is no possibility anymore. She eliminated ben hashmashot by checking through the whole ben hashmashot of Rabbi Yehuda. And after that, it's already nightfall, and then it's a new day. According to Rabbi Yossi, she didn't eliminate that possibility because she didn't finish, quote-unquote, the ben hashmashot, because his ben hashmashot is later than Rabbi Yehuda's, and she didn't check during that period of time. That safek still exists, and therefore there's a possibility that she is a zavah gdola. Now, obviously, if we even are koshesh for her being a zavah gdola, it is what we call a toah. She has a mess on her hands because she really doesn't know if she is or is not a zavah gdola. And that would throw us back to the Mishnah in Arachin, which tells you when you lose your count, what do you do in order to get back on cycle? So you'd have to go through that Mishnah again, which is a complex Mishnah, to reset. But meantime, the question is, do you have to worry about the Yeshiva Nikim at all? That question is based on this machloket about ben hashmashot. Just as an aside, again, with regards to ben hashmashot, there are different ways to formulate what exactly ben hashmashot is. Is ben hashmashot the time period in which we have a safek as to whether it's Yom and Laila? It really is either Yom or it's Laila. We just don't know which one it is. There is a threshold where it turns over from day to night, and therefore ben hashmashot either belongs to the previous day, belongs to the next day. We just don't know which it is. And that's the safek. That's a possibility. Safek Yom, safek Laila. That's one possibility as to explaining what ben hashmashot is. The other possibility is that it is a safek yom v'laila, which means there are 2 ways to formulate. Either that period of ben hashmashot, some of it is yom, some of it is laila. We just don't know where the threshold is in between. Before we were explaining that it's either all yom or all laila. We just don't know which one it is. The other possibility is that it's both yom v'laila. We just don't know where the cutoff is during that ben hashmashot period. There is a 4th formulation, which is the Ritva gives such a formulation, and some of the Achronim also, that maybe it is Yom V'Laila. There is a period of time that is neither day nor night. It is a mix of day or night. It is neither day nor night. It's this in-between twilight zone, exactly what it's called, the twilight zone, that it doesn't have day or night. It's both of them at the same time. So that's the safek that exists within ben hashmashot. Now, that ben hashmashot can create this problem of, if you have a sighting over the duration of ben hashmashot, then you could possibly have a sighting that's one part today, one part tomorrow. And over here, since you met the threshold of gris va'od, it doesn't matter that you didn't have a gris va'od yesterday and a gris va'od tomorrow. You met the threshold, which we would classify this as a sighting. Once you have a sighting, any amount of the sighting that was yesterday or today could make you into a zavah gdola, as we know. Sightings of nida, even a tipat dam, makes you into a nida, makes you into a zavah. So that's the safek that is being discussed over here. The terminology, ben hashmashot, also it's not clear exactly what it means between the shamashot. Won't speak about the other explanations which others give it to try to explain it. I'll just give you one which I think might be interesting, which is ben hashmashot means between the windows. And that is based on the fact that the Chazal believed and the Rishonim described this. It's the Shita of the Rabbeinu Tam in the Gemara in Pesachim in the ninth perek, where he explains the Shita that there was a rakia, a kippah, a solid kippah over the world, and the sun at night used to penetrate through the kippah to the other side, and then it would come over the top of the kippah and come through the kippah, the rakia, in the morning. How it gets through there is what's called the chamunei rakia. The windows of the rakia are the places where the sun sets and rises through this solid substance, which blocks the light of the sun overnight when it climbs over the kippah, over the rakia, overnight. So then the word shimsha means window. So ben hashmashot would be between the windows. And that is because the first window it enters is when it sets, when the sun leaves the horizon, it enters into a, what they thought was a window, into the rakia itself, which lights up the horizon because it's in the rakia, in the kippah. And then it exits on the other side from the window. That's when it becomes pitch black. That's when Seitu Klavim happens, because then there's no longer any light on the horizon and the sun is gone completely. So ben hashmashot would be between those windows, possibly. It's a interesting way that I thought maybe you can explain ben hashmashot, not the standard way that most explain it, but would, based on their understanding of ben hashmashot, give understanding to why it was called that. So now the Gemara asks, after we've established what the machloka between the Chachamim, the Tanakama, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra is, now we want to understand Rabbi's position, where Rabbi says, Amar Rabbi, nirim divrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, kishalo badka. That I think that he's right when we didn't check. My lo badka. What does it mean they didn't check? Ilema de badka bid Rabbi Yehuda, velo badka bid Rabbi Yossi. If you say, I think he's right, when they checked over the duration of ben hashmashot of Rabbi Yehuda, but not over Rabbi Yossi's duration, michlau. From there you would have to conclude that the Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra savar, afagav de badka bid tarvayu, chaisha. Even if you checked on both of them, he still thinks there's a chashash of it falling out on both days. Habadka, how could you say that? Because if Rabbi says his position is only right in one of the two instances, that means that he holds in both of those instances it is true. So Rabbi's saying when you didn't check, and we're calling didn't check, a case where you checked during Rabbi Yehuda's ben hashmashot, but not during Rabbi Yossi's ben hashmashot, that means badka is defined as you checked during both ben hashmashot. And if that's the case, that means Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra says, even if you check throughout both ben hashmashot, that of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, we still have a chashash. But why would you have a chashash? Habadka. She was checking the entire ben hashmashot of both, and there's no chashash anymore. Elab shita. The lo badka has to mean lo bi Rabbi Yehuda, velo bi Rabbi Yossi. She didn't check ben hashmashot at all. So then that's Rabbi says, I think Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra is right. If you don't check any of ben hashmashot, then it makes sense. Aval, badka bi Rabbi Yehuda, velo badka bi Rabbi Yossi. If you check during the ben hashmashot of Rabbi Yehuda, but not of Rabbi Yossi, then loy chaisha. Then Rabbi would not be worried about it. Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra would still be worried about it, but that makes sense. Because he's in the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. And then, if she didn't check during the ben hashmashot of Rabbi Yossi, there still is a chashash, even though she checked during the ben hashmashot of Rabbi Yehuda. Now I understand Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra's position. His position is if you didn't check at all, or even if you check during the ben hashmashot of Rabbi Yehuda, not of Rabbi Yossi, in both of those instances, I still think there's a chashash, because you have a possibility that it was seen during the ben hashmashot of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi, who disagrees and says that I only think he's right, which means when they didn't check at all during ben hashmashot. Alma, ben hashmashot, Rabbi Yossi, l'Rabbi, l'Eliyahu. That means that Rabbi believes that Rabbi Yossi's ben hashmashot is not really ben hashmashot, it's full-fledged night. Because that's why he says, I only think he's right, when they didn't check during both ben hashmashot. But if they checked during Rabbi Yehuda's ben hashmashot and not during Rabbi Yossi's ben hashmashot, there wouldn't be a chashash because it was already nightfall. Eima seifa. Okay, that's a good explanation for one half of the bright that we brought. But b'divrei chachamim, I think the chachamim are right, b'shibadka, when they checked. My badka. What's the meaning of badka now? Ilema de badka bid the Rabbi Yehuda, velo badka bid the Rabbi Yossi. Again, if you think checking means You check during the Benish Mashot, the Rabbi Yehuda, and not during the Benish Mashot, the Rabbi Yossi. Michlau, again, now you'd have to assume that the Rabbonon Sabre, Afal Gabdulo Batko Bintarvayu, Lo Chashinon. Even if she didn't check during either Benish Mashot, we wouldn't worry about it. Mar says, why would you say that? Halo Batko, she didn't check. There should be a Chashash. Meaning, if Rabbi says that the Chachamim are only right in one of their two parts of their position, and that's in the part where they did check, and you're telling me that checking means you check during the Benish Mashot and Rabbi Yehuda, not during Rabbi Yossi, that means the definition of not checking means you didn't check at all. And the Chachamim's position is consistent, whether it's Batkar or Lo Batkar, they always think Lo Chashinon, we don't worry about it. That means you're going to have a position of the Chachamim whereby you didn't check at all, we're still Choshesh. Why wouldn't you be Choshesh? There's a possibility that it happened, Benish Mashot, and there is a good Chashash for that. Elab Shita, you have to explain it. The Batka, Ben Rabbi Yehuda, Ben Rabbi Yossi. They checked both during the Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Aval Batka, Ben Rabbi Yehuda, Velo Batka, Ben Rabbi Yossi. But if they checked during the Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yehuda and not during the Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yossi, then the Chachamim would say, don't worry about it, because they think Benish Mashot Rabbi Yehuda is the real Benish Mashot. Rabbi Yossi doesn't matter, it's night already. But for Rabbi, Chashinan, in that case we would be Choshesh. Alma, Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi, Sfeikavi. Therefore, the Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yossi, for Rabbi, would then be a Sfeik. Kasha, the Rabbi of the Rabbi. Rabbi's statement about when he thinks Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra is right, and when he thinks the Chachamim are right, creates a situation in which the middle case is different in each one of his two statements. Which is, he's telling you when you don't check at all, I think Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra is right. I think when you check both Benish Mashot, I think the Rabbanan are right. The problem is, the diok out of each of those two is that the middle case, where you check for Rabbi Yehuda and not Rabbi Yossi, in one instant it makes it sound like it's totally night, and the other one it makes it sound like it's a safek. So there's an inconsistency in Rabbi's position. The Gemara says, Hachi Kamar, we've seen this a number of times in the Gemara that they do this, that it's not really Rabbi coming to state a third opinion. That's what it looks like in the Braita. You have the opinion of the Chachamim, you have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, and then you have Rabbi's opinion, who says in one case the Rabbanan's position is right, in one case Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra's position is right, but he's basically taking a third position that's independent of these two positions. Gemara says that's not what he's doing, but rather he's explaining to you, he's giving you more detail to the machloki between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra. Hachikamar, nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra li Rabbanan. The position of Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra makes sense to the Rabbanan, delo bad kakalal. If he didn't check at all, not during the Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yehuda, nor during the Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yossi, then the Chachamim agree to Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra. Sha'ach Chachamim lo nechleku alav. The Chachamim only argue on Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, ela de bodko b'de Rabbi Yehuda lo bodko b'de Rabbi Yossi. When you check during the Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yehuda, but you didn't check during the Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yossi. Avahecha de lo bodka klal, in a case we didn't check at all, modile, they agree with him. So by doing that, you take Rabbi's position out of the Braita. He's not giving you a position. He's narrowing the scope of the machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim and saying, take this off the table. This is not a machlok between them. If you didn't check at all Benish Mashot, everybody agrees you have a safek, and even less than 3 gris would be enough to create that safek. If you had 2 gris vote, that would be enough, and we would be choshesh. So leave that off the table, because that's not a case where we're not going to be choshesh for it. On the other hand, their machloket does exist in this situation where you are bodek Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yehuda, not bodek in the Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yossi. And that's what the Rabbanan of the Beis Rav explained, that that's their machloket, which is that when you've checked during the Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yehuda and not during the Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yossi, that's the point of their machloket, which is, does the Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yossi matter or not? According to the Chachamim, it doesn't matter. And therefore, you've checked during Benish Mashot, there's no chashash anymore. Whereas for Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, obviously Rabbi Yossi holds of his own Benish Mashot, therefore there's still a safek, and you would be choshesh in that instance. So now we've explained that Braita. The only problem is, we have another Braita that seems to present a problem, which is Viraminim. Haroe ketem liriya miruba. If you have a stain that has a large stain on it, then choshesh it, we worry about it. Liriya muetet, if it has a small amount on it, eno choshesh it. Zo divrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra. This is the view of Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra. In essence, this view of Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra is the equivalent of the Chachamim's view in the previous Braita, which is that if you have a large siding and you can divide it, subdivide it into 3 different sidings of Kegris Va'od, then we're koshesh. If it is less than that, we are not koshesh. That's what he calls it, riyah miruba and riyah muetet. The Chachamim called it 3 degrees vod and less than 3 degrees vod, but that's what it sounds like. That's the view of Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, Mishamar Mishum Rabbi Yossi, who says it in the name of Rabbi Yossi. Amar Rabbi, Ani Shamati Mimenu. Rabbi says, I heard from Rabbi Yossi, Shachat Zo Bachat Zo Choshashet. Doesn't matter if it's big or small, you are Choshesh. Uminatama Ze Amar Li. And this is the reason behind Rabbi Yossi's position. Ma Ilu Nida, Shlohi Frisha Betara, Minamin Cholamalo. If you're a Nida who doesn't have a Hefsek Tara, from Minchon onward, lo tei becheskat tmeya, wouldn't she be considered to be tmeya? And therefore, the same is true here. So in essence, Rabbi quotes Rabbi Yossi, similar to Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra in the previous Braita. In the previous Braita, Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra says the name of Rabbi Yossi, achat zu b'achat zu chosheshet. And that's exactly what Rabbi quotes in Rabbi Yossi's name over here. So obviously you can see there's an issue because Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra in our Braita is the equivalent of the Chachamim in the previous Braita. And now Rabbi is quoting in the name of Rabbi Yossi a position that's similar to Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra in the name of Rabbi Yossi in the previous Braita. So it seems to be there's some inconsistency over here. We will see that there's a continuation to this Braita which creates more problems. But before we get there, the reasoning behind Rabbi Yossi's position, the Fi Rabbi, is that a woman who has a setting of Dam for Nida, she becomes a Nida for 7 days. She's Tmiya for 7 days Min HaTorah. This is Nida Min HaTorah. At the end of the 7th day, if she stops having sightings, that night, the beginning of the 8th day, the night after the 7th day, she can go to the mikveh and she is Torah. But she needs to have a hefsek tara. She has to define a period of time where she stops having a sighting and she switched over to being Torah. That means late on the 7th day, she needs to do a check to make sure that she's having no sighting. Given that she has no sighting, she now has a hefsek tara. That night, she can go to the mikveh. If on the 7th day she checked in the morning and found herself no sighting, she was Tohorah. Then later in the day she forgets to check and she never checks later in the day. Despite the fact that she checked in the morning, Rabbi Yossi points out that we don't say that that is a Hefsek Tahorah. Rechoshesh, that after she checked in the morning, she had a sighting afterwards. And given that she had a sighting afterwards, she didn't have a Hefsek Tahorah. She can't go to the mikvah that night. He says the same thing should be true over here. If she's checking any time besides Ben HaShemashot, then as soon as she stops checking, there's a possibility she had a sighting. And that sighting could be Ben HaShemashot, and then you'd have 3 days of sightings. So that's the logic behind Rabbi Yossi's position. Then Rabbi continues, after he brings this position of Rabbi Yossi, and says, Benirim Divarav, I think Rabbi Yossi is right, Kishibadka, when she checked. So now Gemara asks, my Badka, what does that mean that she checked? If you're telling me that the Bodka case is a case where she checked during the Ben HaShemashot of Rabbi Yehuda, not during the Ben HaShemashot of Rabbi Yossi, Michlal, the Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, Savar, that means that Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra is the Tanakama in this case. He believes, Afgal de lo Bodka, lo bi Rabbi Yehuda, lo bi Rabbi Yossi, lo Chaisha. That means that he thinks, even if he didn't check in either of them. Rabbi's saying, when Bodka, then Rabbi Yossi's right. But when it's low Bodka, then I think Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra is right. But that means that Bodka and low Bodka in this situation are a case where you check during Rabbi Yehuda, not during Rabbi Yossi's Bodka. Low Bodka means you didn't check at all. That means that Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra believes in both of those instances you don't have to be Choshesh. And why would be that case? Halo Bodka. And then one of those scenarios you didn't check at all. Why wouldn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra be a Choshesh in that case? El Abshita, you have to understand the Bodka, Ben de Rabbi Yehuda, Ben de Rabbi Yossi. That she checked during the entire Ben HaShemashot, both of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. In that case, Rabbi says, I think Rabbi Yossi is right. Rabbi Yossi is right in that situation when you checked all the way through both of those scenarios, then you don't need to be Choshesh. But Michlal, the Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra Savar, from that you would conclude that Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra believes, Bodka be the Rabbi Yehuda, below Bodka be Rabbi Yossi. If you check during the Ben HaShemashot of Rabbi Yehuda and not during the Ben HaShemashot of Rabbi Yossi, lo chayshon, we would not be Choshesh in that case because he believes in both scenarios you're not Choshesh, both the Bodka and Lo Bodka. And the Bodka is when you check both through Ben HaShemashot of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Then Lo Bodka means when you check during Rabbi Yehuda and not during Rabbi Yossi. Alma, Ben HaShemashot of Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, Lelio. That means that according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, the Ben HaShemashot of Rabbi Yossi is nighttime. Kasha, the Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, the Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra. That is a stira with the previous braita, where Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra basically said, as we established already, that the Benish Mashot that we're speaking about in Babkoi is when you check during the Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yehuda, not during that of Rabbi Yossi, and that's what generated the Safek. Over here, you're calling it Lailohu, and over there, you called it a Safek. The Bali Tosafot just make one nuanced point over here, which is that the Gemara, instead of just asking about Rabbi's position, they could have brought a stira in Rabbi Yossi himself. Rabbi Yossi himself believes that the Benish Mashot is different than that of Rabbi Yehuda. So then, here, Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra is quoting Rabbi Yossi, and so is Rabbi quoting Rabbi Yossi. So how could it be a situation in which we're not chushesh for the shita of Rabbi Yossi, which is exactly what Rabbi is saying in the bright over here. He's saying, I think that Rabbi Yossi's position is right, bibodka, when you checked. And we explained that the bodka means in a case where you check during Rabbi Yehuda's and not during Rabbi Yossi's. But that means that you're telling me that Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that you don't have to worry about his Benish Mashot, which is an internal stira. Doesn't make any sense that Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra explained it that way. So Tosafot, it says there's that additional question over here. The Gemara, in the end, when it answers that question as well. So now Gemara says, let's take a step back and say, Bishlama below Rabbi. If you eliminated Rabbi from both Braitot, we could solve the problem. What the Gemara is saying is Rabbi's the problem, not the Braitot. And that is because Lokasha. Hatam de Bodka b'Rabbi Yehuda v'lo Bodka b'Rabbi Yossi. Absent Rabbi, we would explain the previous Braita as the case when you checked during the Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yehuda, not during the Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yossi. That's when Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra says, I'm sorry, we have to be Choshesh now because you missed the Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yossi. It was a Safek. Halacha, this Braita where Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra says, don't worry about it at all, is the Bodka nami b'Rabbi Yehuda and b'Rabbi Yossi. So when you check during both Benish Mashot, that's when you don't have to worry about it. So that, absent Rabbi, had Rabbi not been found in either Braita, that's how you could reconcile Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra. Ella b'Rabbi kasha. Rabbi really causes a serious problem because he then puts Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra into a stira, because in one case he has to explain Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra as being a case where he's choshesh for the Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yossi. And in this Braita, he makes it that Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra believes that Rabbi Yossi's Benish Mashot is a lailo, and therefore there's nothing to be choshesh for. That's a stira that's created by Rabbi's commentary on the two braitot. Our answer is, don't worry about it. Trei tanaei alibet de Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra. It's two tanaim in the view of Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, and they argue about this nuanced point, which changes the dynamic, which is, haitano savar, sholem benesh mashot de Rabbi Yehuda, vahadar bechayo benesh mashot de Rabbi Yossi. The first braita that we brought believes that the Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yossi only starts after the Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yehuda is over. So therefore, they could be two separate issues. One is that you checked during Rabbi Yehuda's Benish Mashot, but you didn't check during Rabbi Yossi's, because Rabbi Yossi exists independently of Rabbi Yehuda. And that's the safek that's generated in the previous Braita. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra in that previous Braita says, you have to worry about even a stain that is too grisim v'od, because it could have been one of those sightings with Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yossi. Bahai Tana, the Tana in the second Braita Savar, Benish Mashot Rabbi Yossi, Mishach Shayich Bid Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi's Benish Mashot is subsumed in Rabbi Yehuda's Benish Mashot. That means if you check throughout the Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yehuda, then you also check the Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yossi, because it's subsumed under Rabbi Yehuda's. It's not a separate Benish Mashot. It is a Benish Mashot that is included or subsumed within that of Rabbi Yehuda. And that way you can explain the difference in the perspectives of the Braita. Both of them believe that it was a check during Rabbi Yehuda's Benish Mashot, not Rabbi Yossi's. But not Rabbi Yossi's only meaningful in the first Braita, where Rabbi Yossi's Benish Mashot is separate from Rabbi Yehuda's. In the second Braita, where it's subsumed in Rabbi Yehuda's, then not checking, quote-unquote, during Rabbi Yossi's is just not possible. If you check during Rabbi Yehuda's, you also check during Rabbi Yossi's. That's what generates Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra's position in this other Braita. Therefore, he believes in this, right? We don't worry about it. If you check during the Benish Mashot of Rabbi Yehuda, you don't need to worry anymore, because you covered Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. In the previous Braita, you do need to worry about it, because if you check during Rabbi Yehuda's Benish Mashot, you didn't check during Rabbi Yossi's Benish Mashot, and that's what generates the Chashash, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra's position is different, even according to Rabbi's position over here. Right now we move on to another issue with regards to Ketamim with stains. Jistan Rabbanan, Haroya Ketem, person who has a sighting, a woman who has a sighting of a stain on her beged, mitama atzma v'kodashim limafreya Dibrei Rabbi. Retroactively, she is now Tmeah herself, and for Kodoshim, retroactively, and as Rashi says here, Limafreya means Adshat Kibus. All the way back to the last time she laundered this piece of clothing. She has not checked this piece of clothing since she put it on. She laundered it, so it was clean. She puts it on, she doesn't check it. Days later, she sees a stain on the becket. We have no idea when that stain appeared on the becket. We have no idea whether it happened today or happened any day between the time she put it on and the time that she found it, because the last time it was checked and cleaned was at Shat Kibus. So that's the Mafreya over here. It goes all the way back to Shat Kibus. We discussed earlier in the Masechta that there are alternate opinions, some of which we will see in the Gemara over here, but that maybe you don't have to go that far back. Maybe you only have to go back 8 to 8. Maybe you only have to go back 24 hours, which the Tosfot HaRosh brings on the previous Amud as seemingly the conclusion of the Gemara over here. The third opinion is that it doesn't go back to Shat Kibus. It goes back to the time she started wearing it. So then, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Kodoshim Mitama, Atzma Eina Mitama. Lemafreya Kodoshim are affected by this stain. She herself is not affected by the stain. Now Rashi over here explains what is Atzma and what is Kodoshim. Rashi explains that Atzma means Taharot, and the Kodoshim literally mean Kodoshim. That means according to Rashi, there's Tuma Lemafreya, which is a Chashash Midrabanan, that this Ketem happened earlier, and she was Tmeah earlier, will affect all Taharot and all Kodoshim that she interacted with between the last time she laundered this clothing and the time that she finds the stain. So now, according to Rashi, the question of Lemafreya only exists in the world of Taharot and Kodoshim. With regards to she herself, this Ketem has no bearing retroactively. Everything is prospective from her perspective with regards to the Ketem. That's Rashi's view over here. Whereas the Bali et Tosafot take issue with that and say the Atzma, the word Atzma doesn't mean Taharot. Atzma means she herself. And therefore, the Bali et Tosafot believe that the Faresh the Atzma, Hainu Shemikub Kela de Minyana, that it ruins her count. And she doesn't know now when her Nida started. Did her Nida start when she has an actual sighting? Or did it start when she saw the Ketem, she found the Ketem, or maybe it goes back number of days. She doesn't know when her 7 days of Nidah started, and therefore she won't know when her 11 days of Yimei Zivah started. So that's the first machloket Rashi and Tosafot has to explain this scenario, is whether we're speaking about just Kodoshim and Taharot, which is the view of Rashi, or is it whether we're speaking about Kodoshim and she herself? That's the question over here. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, I think it's solely with regards to Kodoshim, not her herself. So according to Rashi, it means by Kodoshim, not by Taharot. Whereas for Tosafot, it means by Kodoshim and not by she herself. Is she affected by it? Shelo yeh kitma chamur miriyata. So we don't want her ketem to be more chamur than an actual sighting. Her actual sighting, we know that there's tumah lemafreya for 24 hours. That's it. There's only me'eit le'eit backwards. So how could it be that when she has a stain, which is not considered to be a riya, it's just evidence or circumstantial evidence that there was a riya, how could it be that the stain is more chamur than an actual Riyah, where an actual Riyah goes back 24 hours, and a stain goes back to Ad Shat Kibbutz, according to Rashi. Va'metzino, the Gemara says, wait a minute. Va'metzino kitma chamur miriyata linyan kodoshim. Even Rabbi Shimon Elazar agrees that with regards to kodoshim, it goes back to Limafreya. So then, if you're saying it can't be more chamur, even Rabbi Shimon Elazar agrees that there's a situation in which it is more chamur, which is kodoshim. Because by Kodoshim he agrees that it goes back at Shat Kibbutz. Ela, Tnei Hochi. Rabbi Shimon Elazar's position must read the following. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Af Kodoshim Enu Mitama. That she's not mitamash anything, Lemafreya, not Atzma, not Kodoshim. Shelo Yehei Kitma, Chamur Miriyata, L'chol Davar. How could it be that her Ketem turns out to be more Chamur than her Ri'iyah? For that reason, Rabbi Shimon Elazar believes that in none of these scenarios is there retroactive tuma, because it's a ketem. Had it been a real riyah, it would only have been 24 hours. She has a ketem, it can't be back ad shat kibbutz. So therefore, according to Rashi, the machlok between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon Elazar is the following. The Tanakhama believes that both by Kodoshim and Taharot, there is tuma lemafreya when she has a ketem all the way back to shat kibbutz. Rabbi Shimon Elazar believes that there is no lemafreya, not by Kodoshim, not by Taharot. You don't go back at all in Mafreya. It's all prospective Tuma. Both of them agree with regards to the woman herself There is no kilkul over here. Everything is prospective with regards to her counting of nida, and she will only start from the time she cited the ketem. On the other hand, the Balei Tosafot believe that the Tanakama thinks that there is tumah l'mafreya both by kodoshim and by the woman's count itself. The woman's count goes back ad shat kibbutz, and now she has a safek as to when she started her nida. From the time of the kibbutz all the way through till today, she doesn't know which day is her first day of her nida. That puts her into a bind because she doesn't know when she started her nida, when she'll start a yemei ziva. And then she falls into that Mishnah in Arachim, which says when you lose your count, what do you need to do? And that'll be one of those scenarios that you'll have to deal with in order to get herself back on count. That's the mess that she's in now, according to the Tanakama, because she never checked her beged. And since she didn't check her beged, then it is Tumah L'mafreya all the way back to Shakibus. Shimon Elazar comes along, according to the Balei Tosafot, and argues on both of those. She's not in a mess with her count. And by Kodashim, it's only Tmeah retroactively made late. Alright, so now, Tanrabanan. Now we have another Braita. Rata Ketem, V'chakach Rata Dam. She has a sighting of a stain, and then after that time when she has the stain, she actually has a real sighting of Dam. Tola Kitma Viriyata Me'eit Divei Rabbi. Rabbi says for up to 24 hours, you can assume that the stain was correlated with the actual sighting of Dam. The fact that you have a sighting of Dam now means that when you saw Ketem before, that was just a preview. It was a preliminary to the sighting that you're having now, and I can correlate the two together. So that would then save you from having to deal with the ketem problem, because the ketem now becomes associated with the ri'ya that you're having now, and you no longer have to worry about retroactive tumah with regards to that ketem. Shimon Elazar Omer, yomo, only on that day. Now, the way Rashi explains this is yomo means, if it happened on the same day, then you can associate the ketem with the ri'ya. But if she saw the ketem today, and after shkia, on the next day, she has a sighting, even though it's less than 24 hours away from each other, they cannot be connected. Shkia cuts off, and only if you see on the day itself that you had the ketem will they be joined together and correlated. Otherwise, they will not be correlated. So, Amar Rabbi, Nirim Divarav Midivarai. Rabbi says that I think Rabbi Shimon Elazar makes more sense than I do. Shu Mitakna Vani Me'avta. He fixes her, and I make a mess for her. Gemara says, I don't understand that. Mitakna, Rabbi Shimon Elazar doesn't fix her. Avute me'avidah. He makes it more difficult. Because for Rabbi Shimon Elazar, there are less scenarios where you could connect the ketem to the ri'iya. He gives you a shorter window in which you can connect the two. Rabbi gives a much bigger window. Samar avina ipuch. You need to flip the positions over here. There are three different ways to explain what the ipuch means over here. Rashi brings one, which is, change it to read, Amar Rabbi Nirin Divarai mi Divarav. My position makes more sense than his position, because I am the one who, in the end, makes it make more sense. So that's one way to flip it. The Balei Tosafot bring a second way to flip it, which is, leave it in place, which is Nirin Divarav mi Divarai, but then ipuch, flip the latter part of the statement, which is, Shehu Ma'avta Vani Mitakna. That he makes a mess for her, I don't, and therefore we want to be machmir. That's why he makes sense and I don't make sense, because by neither we're going to be machmir. So Rashi says, flip the opening statement to say that I'm right and he's not right, because I'm mekil and he's not mekil, and ketamim are dirabonon, so we'll go to kula, and that's the way to flip it. Balei Tosafot would say you can have an alternative, which is leave the statement in place, but flip the reasoning afterwards, which is that Rabbi says he makes more sense than me, because he makes a mess, and I fix it. And by Nito, we want to be Machmir, and therefore it's a problem. The last part you could do is actually flip their positions. Flip Rabbi Shimon Elazar and Rabbi's positions in the Braita, and say the first position is Rabbi Shimon Elazar, and the latter position is Rabbi. And then if you say it, then Rabbi's position at the end, you don't have to flip anything, what his statement makes sense. That's a third way to call it Ipuch. Rav Nachman Amar, Do'olam Lot Ipuch. Nachman says you don't have to flip anything here. Shehu mitakein hilchotea lidei ziva, v'ani me'aveit hilchotea lidei ziva. The way Rashi explains this is that he fixes her with regards to a ziva, and I mess her up with regards to the ziva. So the situation or the scenario is a case where she had a sighting of a ketem, then less than 24 hours later she has a sighting, but it's after shkia. So for Rabbi, the ketem is still connected to the ri'iyah, and therefore you're going to say that the counting for her 7 days of nidah start from the ketem, and that means that she will expire her 7 days of nidah earlier, because we'll start a day earlier her 7 days of nidah. That means that her 7 days will expire. She has a sighting on the 8th day. That will be deemed to be a sighting of ziva, with all the ramifications of that, including she has to be shomer yom keneged yom. And then that could add towards 3 days of ziva. She has sightings in the subsequent 2 days. So Rabbi's kula, legabe nida, turns out to be a chumra, legabe ziva. Because by ziva, he's going to start her yemei ziva a day earlier, because he's classifying the ketem as the beginning of her yemei nida. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who says that if it was after Shkiyah the Riyah, even though it was less than 24 hours away from the Ketem, they're not connected. Therefore, the Ketem is not meaningful. We saw that in Rabbi Shimon Elazar before. He thinks the Ketem has no bearing. And therefore, now, she starts her count of Nidah from her sighting. So she's starting a day later, according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar. That means her Yemei Ziva also started a day later. That means if she has a sighting on the 8th day, it still would be during Yemei Nidah and wouldn't have no impact. And she could just be Torah that night, and it has no impact whatsoever. So he's mekil the gabe ziva. That's the way Rashi explains it. That would be the explanation as to why Rabbi is machmir lenyan ziva, and Rabbi Shimon Elazar is mekil the gabe ziva, because it turns out that Rabbi is mekil by nida, which turns out to be a chumra by ziva, and Rabbi Shimon Elazar, who is machmir by nida, turns out to be mekil with the gabe ziva. That's why you can leave the language in place, because he's referencing to the ziva aspect of it, not the nidav aspect of it. So now, the Bali Tosafot explain over here a number of issues with regards to the explanation, one of which relates to his own explanation of the Gemara, and the other one relates to Rashi's explanation of the Gemara. One of them is that Tosafot before said that even Rabbi Shimon Elazar thinks that when it comes to Atzma, her own count, that there is no retroactive Tuma, and that it's all prospective. Yet, over here, the Gemara says that Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, if she has a sighting of Dam on that day, you go retroactively back to the Ketem as the beginning of her count, and not from the time that she had the Riyah, the time that she had the sighting. That implies that if it was a Ketem yesterday, then you can't connect it to the Riyah. That would suggest that that Ketem is not covered by the Riyah, and has retroactive Tuma back to the Shatz Kibbutz. So that Tosfot says, don't think that that's what it means, that if it's not connected directly to a Ri'iyah, that the Ketem now goes backwards, retroactively, all the way back to the Shat Kibbutz, because that goes against what Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, that Be'atzma, with regards to her own self, there is no retroactive Tuma with regards to a Ketem. Ela di'Ri'iyah ha'hashta, the Ketem de'atmo, himikul kelet. Between the Ri'iyah today and the Ketem that was yesterday, she has a mix-up over here where she doesn't know whether her 7 days started from yesterday or 7 days started from today. It started right now when she had the sighting, or it started from yesterday by the Ketem. So Tosafot says that it can have an aspect of Mikukelet. Even though Rabbi Shimon Elazar in the previous brightness seems to indicate that the Ketem doesn't create Kilkul because it's all prospective, not retroactive, there still is a situation in which it can create a problem. You have a Ketem followed by a Ri'iyah. And the Ketem happened today, and the Riyah happened after Shkiyah. Even though they're within 24 hours of each other, Rabbi Shimon Elazar does not allow you to connect them. And therefore, now she's in a situation where possibly her Nidah started yesterday with the Ketem, or started today with the Riyah. And even Rabbi Shimon Elazar will agree in that scenario that there is a possibility of Kilkul. That's one thing that Tosafot points out. Tosafot says, then it will turn out once again that her Ketem is more Chamur than her Riyah. Because when it comes to her Ri'iyah, sighting of Dam, she won't have any mess. She won't be mixed up with her days. She starts counting from the time of the Ri'iyah. With the Ketem, it can create a problem where she can have a safek with regards to when her Nidah cycle started, whether it started by the Ketem or the Ri'iyah. So now again, it'll turn out that a Ketem is more Chamur than a Ri'iyah. And that's the whole premise of Rabbi Shimon Elazar's Shita, which is that a Ketem can't be more Chamur than a Ri'iyah. So Tosafot then answers that that's not exactly what Rabbi Shimon Elazar said. What Rabbi Shimon Elazar said is that her Ketem can't be more Chamur than a Ri'iyah, whereby a Ri'iyah, there's retroactive Tumah made late for 24 hours. So 24 hours backwards, Ri'iyah does have impact. Even though it may not have impact on her herself, does have impact on Kodoshim and Taharot. And what he's saying is that a ketem can't have more than 24 hours of retroactive problem. So also over here, the ketem won't create a problem for more than 24 hours. It will throw back her account of Nidah by one day, and she'll have a safek whether it was yesterday or today, but it won't create a problem that's larger than 24 hours. And that's what he is saying. Ketem can't be more chamor than a riyah, because by a riyah, the only thing we worry about when we do worry is 24 hours. So to by a ketem, it can't create more than 24 hours retroactive of a problem. And in this instance, it creates exactly that, 24 hours of a problem, which is that her ketem might be the first part of her minyan, or the riyah is the first part of her minyan. That's first of all about Tosafot the Shitato. So then the Balei Tosafot argue on Rashi's position with regards to what does it mean that Rabbi is the Chumra of the Gabei Ziva, and that Rabbi Shimon Elazar is the Kula, the Gabei Ziva. What is the meaning of that? Rashi said, it meant that if there's a Chumra the Nidah, then there is a Kula of the Gabei Ziva. But that turns out to be a huge Kula according to Rashi, because that means that if you say that according to Rabbi that you came from the Ketem beforehand, that means that she finishes her days of Nidah after 7 days from the Ketem, even though it's only 6 days from the Riyah, and it'll turn out she can go to the Mikveh on the sixth day after Riyah, which is 7 days from the Ketem, according to Rabbi, go to the Mikveh and Mutara the Bala. That's what Rashi says, because she ends her days of Nidah a day before Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. And given that, she ends her Nidah a day earlier. And then the Kula is that you would be Mutara the Bala. Tosafot says that's way too big a Kula. Even Rabbi, who says that we go retroactively back to the Ketem, he doesn't think that we do that, the Kula. He just says the Chumrah, that we worry about the fact that her Nidah started then, and we worry about it started the next day. We don't worry that it only started at the time of the Ketem and not on the time of the Nidah. It's not a huge Kula. It's a Chumrah that we're choshesh for both of them. So he says, I can't understand what Rashi is saying here, that it would be a Kula for Ziva. According to Rabbi, it's going to turn out to be a Chumrah, which is, I'll be choshesh for both the fact that it started at the Ketem and started the Riyah. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Elazar will only be choshesh that it started from the Riyah. So therefore, the Balei Tosafot would say, what does it mean that Rabbi Shimon Elazar is the Kula? Nira kaperish Rabbeinu Chananel. I think the explanation here should be like the Rabbeinu Chananel. That is, kishematza Ketem biyom Riyah the Rabbi. The case where she finds the Ketem on the day of Riyah for Rabbi. That is because if you have a sighting within 24 hours of a Ketem, according to Rabbi, where there was a Riyah today and a Ketem yesterday, we can still associate the two. Rabbi can possibly count that as 2 days in a row, because we count the day of the Riyah and we count the day beforehand, because that was when she had a Ketem. So now, if you are choshesh for the Riyah being associated with the Ketem, then you also might have to choshesh for the fact that the Ketem might have been 24 hours earlier. That means now that you have actually 2 days of a sighting. So she actually had 2 days of sighting. She had a sighting on the day of the Ketem and a sighting on the day when she actually had a Riyah. So since we associate them together, we're considering the Ketem as a Riyah and we're seeing the Riyah as a Riyah. That means she now has 2 days in a row, even though in this instance she saw them all on the same day. If she was during her Yemei Ziva, according to Rabbi, she would actually have 2 days of sightings now, which would then put her in line for a third day of sighting that would make her a Ziva Gdola, or she'd have to be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom for those 2 days of sighting. On the other hand, for Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who says you can only connect a Ketem and a Riyah when they're on the same day, then for him, you never have 2 days of sightings when you associate a Ketem and a Riyah, because they're always on the same day. And therefore, for the Ziva, he's the Kula, because if it happens during Yemei Ziva, and he associates the Ketem with the Riyah, it'll only be one sighting, not two sightings. And as Tosafot says, l'shitati, I already told you, if you have a sighting of a Ketem, and then within 24 hours you have a sighting of a Riyah, that Rabbi Shimon Elazar agrees that there is this possibility of having a day off on the count. Also over here, you have to be choshesh for that extra day of the count, just like Rabbi is. And the only nafkamina between them is in a situation in which they had the sighting and the Ketem on the same day, there will be a nafkamina as to how many sightings we count that as. That's what it means. Rabbi Shimon Elazar is the Kula of the Gabei Ziva, which is that because of his stringency with regards to when you can associate the Ketem with the Riyah is only on the same day, then for him, you'll never garner two sightings by associating Ketem and Riyah, because they're both on the same day. For Rabbi, who allows you to go over 24 hours, there's a possibility you had the Riyah one day and the Ketem on another day, then the association of the two of them together makes it that you had a two Riyot. You had a Riyah yesterday and a Riyah today, and you have two Riyot during the May Ziva. And that's why it turns out that Rabbi is the Chumrah, the Gabe Ziva, and Rabbi Shimon Lazar is the Kula, the Gabe Yemei Ziva. So that's the second criticism Tosafot has of Rashi's explanation. So, Ba'imine Rabbi Zera bim Rabbi Yasi. Rabbi Zera asked Rabbi Yasi, Tamim, Tzichim Hefsek Tara, Olo. Do Tamim require a Hefsek Tara, or do they not require a Hefsek Tara? Rashi explains over here that the meaning of Hefsek Tara is, on the seventh day, in order to go to the mikveh, do you need to check Ben HaShmashot to have a Hefsek Tara? By Nida Doraita, again, we said that for 7 days she could be Tmeah, she can see Dam throughout the entire 7 days. As long as she has a Hefsek Tara, Ben HaShmashot, going into the eighth day, she can go to the mikveh that night and she is Teora. That's true when she has a normal sighting of Dam. Question is, when she has the sighting of a Ketem, is that critical that she has a Hefsek Tara? So that's the question that was posed. Ishtik v'lo amrei v'lo midei. He had no answer for him. Zimnin ashkechei diyotiv kamar. Another time he found him saying, Tola kitma b'riyata mi'eit le'eit divrei rabbi. You're allowed to be tola the kitma b'riyata from 24 hours retroactively. That's what we saw in the Braita before. Amar Rish Lakish v'hu shibadka. Rish Lakish said, that's only true if you did a bidika. Rabbi Yochanan amar, afa pishu lo badka. Even if you didn't do a bidika. Wait a minute. Now you're telling me that you do need a Hefsek Tara for Ktamim. Because Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan only argue whether she did or didn't do a Bdika. Both of them agree she should do a Bdika. Question is, what happens if she didn't do a Bdika? Then Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan argue. So the answer then to the question that he posed before, do you need a Hefsek Tara? Do you not need a Hefsek Tara? Is you do need a Hefsek Tara. Amalei in. He says, you're right. Vaha zimnin sagin baiminach lo amart velo midei. Says, now you have a conclusion. Other times I asked you, you didn't give me any conclusion. You were silent. You had nothing to say about it. Dilma gav shitfech at yalach. Maybe through your review. Shitfech really means through your flow. When you go through your learning and you're quickly reviewing everything, it came back to you that which Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish said. And therefore then you remembered this. Amalei in. Agav shitfei at yalach. It came back to me when I was reviewing, and that's what I know what the answer is. Now, Rashi has to explain what is the difference between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Rashi has an incredible Perush over here, which is rejected by many other Rishonim, because it's so difficult or it's so amazing, whichever way you want to phrase it. Rashi says over here, what Reish Lakish says is, depending on what the woman does at the end of her period of sighting, will determine when she started her count. Which is that Reish Lakish says, if 7 days after she saw the Ketem, she does a check, that means she believes the Ketem was the beginning of her sighting, and that's when her 7 days of Nida started. So if she does a Hefsek Tara, then 7 days after the Ketem, that means that she believes her Nida cycle started with the Ketem, and then she's done. And she can go to the mikveh that night, and she's done. If she does not do a Bdika on the seventh day, that shows you that she doesn't believe that her Ketem was the beginning of her count. That's why she's not doing a Hefsek Tara. And she will only do a Hefsek Tara the next day, showing or demonstrating that she believes her Nida started from the time she had the real sighting, not from the time of the Ketem. So then, what Reish Lakish is saying according to Rashi is, the woman gets to decide when her Nida cycle started. It's incredible. If she checks on the seventh day after a Ketem, she demonstrates that she believes her Nida cycle started with the Ketem. She doesn't do a Bdika then she's demonstrating she doesn't think the Ketem is in the beginning of her cycle, and her cycle really started with the Riyah. And therefore she does a Hefsek Tara the next day, on the eighth day after the Ketem. But why should the woman be the one who decides? That's the problem with Rashi Shita. But that is Rashi Shita. Rabbi Yochanan says, doesn't matter. Whether she's bodeket or not, it started with the Ketem, and she has 7 days starting with the Ketem period. She should check and do Hefsek Tara. But even if she doesn't do Hefsek Tara, that is still the beginning of her Nida span of 7 days, and she cannot be the one who determines when it starts. That's how Rashi reads this Gemara over here. Tosafot over here cannot abide by Rashi's explanation because it's what we already raised with Rashi, which is, how could it be that her going to the mikveh or doing the Hefsek Tara determines when they started the Nida count was? That's number one. And even according to Rabbi, who says that we're choshesh for the Ketem, That doesn't mean that he thinks that it's absolute and certain that you count from the day of the Ketem and not from the day of the Re'iyah. That's not true. Rabbi himself, when he says we're choshesh for the Ketem being a part of the Re'iyah, that's exactly what it is. We're choshesh. And we would count both 7 days and 8 days because we wouldn't be sure as to which one is the first day of her count. So he says that I don't think that Rashi's explanation with regards to Hefsek Tara is correct, but rather the explanation of Hefsek Tara is the following. You need to have a check between the time of the laundering to the time of when you have the sighting of the Ketem. Everybody agrees that you need a check in between, because that takes it out of the world of retroactive back to the kibbutz, and then allows you to associate the Ketem with the upcoming Re'iyah. That's only if you had a Bidika. How close to the sighting of the Ketem does that Bidika need to be? So that's the machloket here. Rish Lakish says, as long as you had a checking within 24 hours of the sighting of the Ketem, then you can associate the Ketem with the upcoming Re'iyah that's afterwards. But if you had a check more than 24 hours ago, then you can't associate the Ketem with the Re'iyah, because that means the Ketem could have been from way back. We don't know when it happened. We know as far back as the Bidikah it could have happened. Therefore, you have a kilkul all the way back to the time of the Bidikah. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan says it doesn't matter. As long as you checked between the kibbutz and the finding of the Ketem, doesn't matter whether it's within 24 hours of the finding of the Ketem or not. That checking takes away this retroactive Tumah. Just like you eliminated retroactive Tumah for kibbutz now because you had a Bidika in between, so too you've eliminated retroactive Tumah back to the Bidika. And the only thing that matters now is if you have a Riyah afterwards, you can associate the Ketem with that Riyah, because it happened within 24 hours of the Ketem, you had the Re'iyah. So Rabbi Yochanan just needs a Bedika, period, between kibbutz and the sighting of the Ketem. He doesn't need it to be within 24 hours of the Ketem. Whereas Rav Shlakish requires it to be within 24 hours of the Ketem. And that's the explanation of the question that Rabbi Zeira was posing to Rabbi Yossi. Do you need a check between the kibbutz and the finding of the Ketem to make it that will associate the Ketem with the Re'iyah? The answer to that question is yes. No matter what, you do need a bdika. If you don't have a bdika, we will not associate the Ketem with the Riyah. It's possible the Ketem was there all the way back to the kibbutz. Once you do a check, then I break this retroactive nature back to the kibbutz. And now the question is, how good a check did you need? Do you need a check that puts the Ketem within the last 24 hours? Or do you just need a bdika to separate it away from the kibbutz? And that's the answer. Rabbi Yochanan says that all you need is a bdika between the kibbutz and now. Doesn't matter how close it was to the sighting of the Ketem. Once you've broken this retroactivity back to the kibbutz, then you can associate the Ketem with the Re'iyah as long as they're within 24 hours of each other. Rish Lakish says you can only do that if you narrow the scope of when the Ketem could have happened. If you did a check within the last 24 hours before you saw the Ketem, then you can force the Ketem to be associated with the Re'iyah afterwards. Otherwise, you still have the same problem, which it could be retroactively tameh back to the bdika. And that could be far away from the Re'iyah, and therefore we can't associate the two of them together. That's the view of the Balei Tosafot. The Tosafot HaRosh, all the way at the end, does bring a defense of Rashi's position here about having it be a Hefsek Tara. At least with regards to the issue of starting the count from the Ketem a day earlier rather than from the Re'iyah. In a situation possibly where the Ketem was sighted on the day of her Veset, and then within 24 hours she has a Re'iyah, do we then assume that the Ketem, instead of indicating 24 hours before that of Tumah, we consider it to be prospective and to be on the Veset, and therefore the beginning of the count, Lekula, because both of the fact that it's associated with the Veset, and within 24 hours you had a regular sighting of Dam. The Rambam, according to the Magid Mishnah, thinks that the question was the following. Can you associate two Re'iyot of Ketamim together? For the Rambam in Hilchot Yisurei Bi'irah, Perek Tet, Halacha Tet Vav, says the following. What our Gemara is saying over here, that when you have a Riyat Dam, within 24 hours after a Ketem, we associate the two together. Whether she checked herself at the time of the Ketem and finds herself Tor, Ben Shalobadka, whether she didn't check. Aval, Haru'ah Ketem, Achar Ketem, Betoch Hasim Barbashot, she saw a stain today, and then a stain tomorrow within 24 hours of each other, then it makes a difference. Eno Tola Ketem Beketem, Ilam and Kain Badka Benehem. Then we don't connect the two tamim unless you did a check in between. Shim hifsika tara ben aktamim, If you create a hefsek tara by doing a bedika in between, then that separates away the tamim from each other, and you would only have one sighting during Yemei Ziva. It would not be classified as two sightings during Yemei Ziva. On the other hand, if you don't do a check in between, they will be classified as two sightings, and then it'll count towards 2 days of sighting during Yemei Ziva. And then if you have a third sighting, then you would turn into a Zavak Dola. Otherwise, you'd have to keep Shomer Yom Keneged Yom for the next day after these 2 days of sighting. In the scenario where had it been a Ketem yesterday and a Riyah today, we would have tied the Ketem to the Riyah, and you would start your count only from the Riyah, and would not be Chosheish for the Ketem at all. So now, the question is the same true by two Ketamim? If I have a Ketem today and a Ketem tomorrow, do I then connect between these two tamim if she didn't do a check in between to make it that I start the count from the second ketem and not the first ketem? Meaning that if she didn't do a check in between, do I associate the two tamim together? Or I only associate the tamim together if after the first ketem she did a check and found herself Torah, then I will connect the two tamim together. And the Gemara's conclusion is that we are tolim ketem b'ketem. We do associate a ketem with another ketem only if she checked herself after the first ketem arishon and found herself Torah. Then we will associate the two ketemim together and only start the count from the second ketem. So that's according to Rambam, that's the nature of the Gemara's question here with regards to the hefsek tara, which is that by ketem and re'iyah, the opinions of Rabbi Shimon Elazar and Rabbi are that you can associate the ketem with the subsequent re'iyah. Question is, if you have two ketamim, can I associate this first ketem with the second ketem? The Rabbi rejects that view of the Rambam because he says it's obvious that if you don't do a check between the ketamim, that they connect and can make you into a zavah gidola. Because we already said before in all the brayot that if you have a single sighting of a ketem that has the size of three kesim, then we assume that it happened over 3 days and we're choshesh that you are a zavah gidola. So there, of course, if you didn't do any check in between, and you have two separate tamim, they're going to be joined together to create 2 days of ziva. And therefore, that you didn't need to ask that question. Must be that the question here is something else, and this is what the Rabbi explains it is. If she had a sighting of three tamim, which made her into a ziva gidola, does she need to then do a check of shivin nikiim, boker and erev, like a normal case of shivin nikiim? Or maybe it's enough that at the end of the 7 days, she does a bdika, and that establishes her hefsek tara at the end of the shiva nikim, and that'd be enough. The reason is because the tamim doesn't establish the fact that she is a person who is citing dam, just makes her into zavah gdola. So maybe then during the shiva nikim, she doesn't need to check every day to establish her tara. She has a din of being Torah, even without that, only needs to check on the last day. Or do we say that she still needs to check each day to establish that each day is a day that is naki? And the conclusion of the Gemara is that she needs a check, boka be'erev, each day to establish the fact that she is tehora. Alright, so those are the different ways to explain what the nature of the question of Rabbi Zeira was of Rabbi Asi. Alright, now the next Mishnah. Oreh yom yud aleph ben hashmashot. She sees on the 11th day of Yermei Ziva ben hashmashot, then it is tchilat nida b'sof nida, tchilat ziva b'sof ziva. It's the beginning of a nida and the end of a nida. It's the beginning of a ziva and the end of a ziva. Those don't make sense. And the Gemara will, in a second, parse the Mishnah to make sense out of it. Yom Arba'im l'zachar. If on the 40th day after she gave birth to a male, whereby for the first 7 days she was tmeah, the subsequent 33 days she has dam tohar, and she sees on the 40th day, ben hashmashot, she has a sighting. That which is before ben hashmashot is tohar. That is after ben hashmashot is tameh. She saw during ben hashmashot, what's the status there? Yom shmanim l'nekeva. And similarly, on the 80th day for nekeva, when she's transitioning from dam tohar to dam tamei, ben hashmashot, the kulan, harelu toot. If you see on a sighting ben hashmashot for all these scenarios, she's in a position where she is a toa. She doesn't know when to start her nida, because we don't know if the sighting was before the yomei tohar expired, or after the yomei tohar expired. Or, by the case of Nida, she doesn't know if she's ending a Nida or starting a Yemei Ziva. Or at the end of Yemei Ziva, she doesn't know if she's ending Ziva or starting Nida. All of those cause problems for her in her count, and she'll be then off count, And she'll have to do what the Mishnah in Arachin says to get herself back on count. Amar Rabbi Yoshua, ad she'etem mitaknim et ha'shotot, bo'u tiknu et ha'pikchot. Before you take care of these fools, take care of the regular women who need help. And the Gemara again will discuss what his statement is the meaning, what does shotot mean, why are they considered fools over here, and what does it mean those that are not fools. Tchilat nida v'sof nida, what do you mean that if she cites at the 11th day of her Yemei Ziva ben Hashmashot, that's a safek between the beginning of a nida and the end of nida, it's tchilat nida v'sof zivahi. The safek when you see at ben Hashmashot at the end of the 11th day, is whether that was still shayach to the 11 days of Yemei Ziva, and it was the end of your Yemei Ziva, or is it already the next day, and it's tchilat nida. That's the safek over here. So I'm Rav Chista Chikamar. This is how to read the Mishnah. Horei Yom Yud Aleph Ben Hashmashot. If you see on the 11th day of Yemei Ziva, Ben Hashmashot, that is Tchilat Nida V'Sof Ziva. It's a safek as to whether that's the beginning of your new Nida cycle, or it's still yesterday, and it is considered the end of your Yemei Ziva. V'Shvi'i L'Nidata. On your 7th day of being a Nida, if you have a sighting Ben Hashmashot, then we don't know if it happened before Ben Hashmashot, then that would be part of your 7 days, the end of your 7 days of Nida, and you'd be fine. Or is that already a sighting during the first day of Yemei Zivan? You have to be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. The beginning of the Mishnah is actually two scenarios. It's a scenario where you saw Ben Hashmashot on the 11th day of Yemei Ziva. It's also a case where you saw on the 7th day of Yemei Nida. In those instances, you're on the threshold between Nida and Ziva in each of those cases. In the first scenario where it's on the 7th day of your Yemei Nida, right afterwards, at Ben Hashmashot, you have a sighting. Is that still associated with the first 7 days of Nida? Or is that associated already into the beginning of your 11 days of Yemei Ziva? That's one safek. The next safek is when you hit the end of your Yemei Ziva, the 11th day of Yemei Ziva, Ben Hashmashot, then if you have a sighting then, is that still associated with the previous day and it's one of your Yemei Ziva? Or is it associated with the next day and becomes a Petach L'Nida? Now you become Tameh for 7 days, because it's a sighting of a new Nida cycle. So all of these Sfeikot exist when you have sightings Ben Hashmashot, and on top of that, the 40th day and the 80th day of Yemei Zachar and Yemei Nekeva, where you're transitioning from Dam Toar to Dam Tamei, and you also have a Sfeik, whether you have Dam Toar or you have Petach L'Nida. All of those, when you have a sighting Ben Hashmashot, have these Sfeikot that are associated with them. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the bottom of Nim Gimel Amud Bet.